Joining us on today's programme is an old friend of Near FM. It's Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Now, Michelle, you've been very good to us over the years, talking to us about issues of a social nature, but not just social, practical, economic and everything like that. We're revisiting the budget because obviously there were little new bits coming came out early this year.
Yeah.
And you're still not happy with it, the budget in general, that is?
No, not at all. Well, we weren't happy at all when it came out, which your listeners are obviously aware of. But it's one of the issues we've raised recently are the claims by government that budget 2013 was as fair as it could be, which are, those claims are untrue. If you look at the budget itself, it hit people on low incomes far more than people on high incomes, especially the working poor, those who have a job but are low paid, because they have been hit proportionately far more by the change in the PRSI threshold than those on higher incomes.
Yeah, and you mentioned a figure of those on 100,000 or more, the damage has been considerably less.
Well, yeah, if you look at someone who earns 20,000 a year, they have a decrease that is five times higher in their income than someone who earns 100,000 a year. So, I mean, just that one point alone shows how unfair the budget actually was.
Yeah. Is there anything else, you know, that came out this year kind of thing that you really wish the government had decided to do a bit of a U-turn? I'll mention one thing, Michelle. All income, i.e. they're talking about unearned income and that, will now be subject to PRSI.
Yeah.
Now, unearned income, is that considered rental income?
Yeah, some of it would be considered rental income, would be a big part of that, because that is considered to be unearned income. So that will be subject to PRSI. And that's also investment income as well, you know, returns on investments you've made.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well, Michelle, the DIRT tax. When one reached 66, provided you didn't have a large income, you are no longer subject to DIRT tax, but that is going to change as well.
Yes, that is going to change as well. And they've changed the criteria there for DIRT tax. And they've also, well, in 2014, they're going to be introducing changes on the tax relief on pension contributions. So that's going to be limited to incomes of 60,000 or less. And they're not going to renew the pension levy itself in 2014.
Right.
But one of the things that we had, you know, I talked to you about this before the budget, we'd proposed that the USC be imposed on earners over 100,000, all earners. It's imposed on self-employed people, but not on PAYE earners over 100,000, the standard rate, and it wasn't. So that would have brought in about 71 million. But at the same time, child benefit was cut. And the carbon tax, again, on solid fuels was put, it's going to be 10% on solid fuels from May. But at the same time, tax relief was introduced for road hauliers, which will cost us €70 million a year. That's a relief on auto diesel for road hauliers.
Okay.
Could be found for road hauliers, but it couldn't be found for, you know, people who are subject to the carbon tax who are on low incomes, or rural dwellers, or older people.
Yeah, I can understand that, but would that not have been seen as progressive, possibly in the sector of job creation? I'm talking about the, you know, relief for the hauliers.
Well, it's costing, you know, we haven't seen any evidence to show where these jobs, well, any proposed jobs are going to come from, because there was no argument produced for this that was in the public arena.
Right.
And we didn't see, you know, it was just announced on the day, but nobody has seen the evidence. Did they say they were going to create a certain number of jobs, or that they were going to fill up their tanks elsewhere? You know, there's very little evidence or analysis of the decisions made in the budget itself.
Yeah. If we just sort of have a brief reprise there, they've cut the children's allowance. So they've hammered the kiddies, those on low incomes, and of course now with the this idea of raiding granny's piggy bank at the other end of the scale. What's left in between?
Well, to be honest, I don't think there's anything left, really. You know, if you look at the past, especially the past two budgets by this current government, they've had two budgets now, and even the budget before that, if you look at the cumulative impact on families, so you're getting the whole spectrum, you know, from children to elderly people. If you look at the cumulative impact of those decisions and the decisions made in December, are going to have a very negative impact on families, on children, on adults of working age and on older people. But there doesn't seem to be any consideration of this when government is making its decisions on the budget or other policy decisions. Because as you said yourself, there's nothing left in between now. You know, there's nothing more that can be taken from people, really.
No, particularly those that can least afford it. I mean, that's the problem. And it's worth reiterating that yourselves and other organisations produced their own budget proposals, which would have brought in exactly the same amount of money, but would not have affected society in such a negative manner.
Exactly, exactly. And we've done that every year, and we've done that, you know, every year in the crisis as well, and we use the, you know, the reduction in borrowing deficit as our bottom line, but we show how it can be done in a far more equitable manner.
Yes.
And how it can be far more progressive, and so that those who are consistently, presently being impacted by the cuts are not those on very low or middle incomes, and are not families who've been hit every single time, and that those who can afford to pay do pay or do contribute to our recovery.
Yeah. If I can take you back to another one of your proposals, Michelle, and I'll tell you why. This was the Jobs Initiative, which had been running in the 80s and which you wanted to see reduced. Now, I recently spoke with Mark Fielding of the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises, and he also backs that plan. So it's not that if you're just a bunch of do-gooders with a, you know, social conscience saying this could be done. He's a businessman. He also sees it as a practical initiative.
It was introduced, it was mainstreamed, it worked. It worked then at a period of very high unemployment. It will work again. I mean, our unemployment is now the fourth highest in the EU. It has not come down. And the real problem is that it's structurally, it's becoming long-term unemployment amongst the majority of people.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's stopping the whole system from falling apart is emigration.
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, you mentioned we're now the fourth highest, and that puts us after Spain, Greece and Portugal.
Yeah.
That really isn't a comfortable position to be in, is it?
No, it's not a comfortable position to be in, and it's not a comfortable position for all those people out there who are unemployed and their families, because they're continually being told, take up labour market activation programmes, you know, that work has to pay. I mean, but the reality is there aren't any jobs out there. There haven't been any jobs out there, and there won't be any jobs out there. If you look at the government's own projections, we're still going to have unemployment of 12% in 2015, 2016.
Right.
So the government is acknowledging that the jobs aren't going to be out there, yet at the same time it's scapegoating these people.
Yeah, and the thing is, unlike, well, not totally unlike, but slightly different to previous times of crises in the state, you know, the 40s, the 50s, we'll say, and the 80s, we're losing primarily young people.
Yes.
You know, at those other times, anybody between the age of 18 and 50-odd would emigrate.
Yeah.
But primarily what we're losing now are the young people, the young graduates under 30s.
That's it. It's the highest concentration is between the ages of 20 and 30. And those are, you know, those are our future. Those are the young people. They've been educated. They want to work and they want to stay in this country, but they're being forced to leave. And the longer that those people are away, the smaller the possibility is of them returning. So what we were going to be left with then is another crisis that if and when we do eventually get out of this austerity situation, we won't have the people here who can take up the jobs that will hopefully come on stream, because those people will have left the country and will be living and working elsewhere.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, as you say, you're talking about 25 to 30-year-olds. Give the top line there another 5 years, chances are they're going to marry and have started a family, and they will be reluctant to bring them back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's completely understandable. You can't have a whole cohort of young people, almost an entire generation, unemployed and with no prospects. There's no reason for them. They have to go away. There's no reason for them to stay here. There aren't any jobs. They don't see a future for themselves here. And we have a government who isn't even outlining a vision for the future of this country.
Right.
At present.
Yeah. Michelle, what would be your number one? And I'm talking about, you know, Social Justice Ireland and your partners.
Yeah.
You get a chance. Let's say you get a chance to alter something in April. Which used to be the old time of the budget. Is there any one thing that, if the government said, look, we'll concede one issue, what would it be?
Jobs. As you said yourself, you were speaking to Mark Feeling, unless we do something about the unemployment crisis in this country, we're going nowhere. So it would be jobs, and the first thing would be to introduce the part-time job opportunities programme. It would not cost a huge amount of money, but the benefits would be huge for those people involved, and their families, and their communities.
Yeah, because the chances are, you know, you say you're talking about part-time jobs, but the holistic benefits, shall we say, of somebody being employed are going to be absolutely huge. And from those part-time jobs, you're going to get another generation of entrepreneurs.
That's it, because that's what happened last time around. And the reason this programme was mainstreamed last time around was because it worked. And when the economy did pick up, the programme melted away, as it should, because there were mainstream jobs, full-time jobs available for those people to take up.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they had retained their skills. They had learned new skills. And as you say yourself, the holistic benefits for themselves, their families and the wider community, it's immeasurable.
Yeah. So...
And that, so that is what, if I was offered one thing, that's what I would take.
You take the jobs initiative.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a single person... I was going to say there isn't a single person outside the Dáil who would disagree with you. I'm not saying that those inside the Dáil would, but apparently they haven't been listening.
No, they haven't. And that's sort of a consistent feature of it over the past 2 years. You know, if everybody else can see that the biggest crisis we're facing at the moment is unemployment, except those who are in a position to do something about it, then we have a real problem.
We do indeed. Well, look, Michelle, as always, it's lovely to speak to you. Every time I learn something new, and so do our listeners. I mean, they become much better informed. Better informed people make better citizens.
They do indeed. And thank you very much, Ronnie, and a very happy new year to all your listeners.
And to you too. And hopefully, Michelle, I'll be back to you throughout the rest of the year, but I hope we have something more positive to talk about.
Oh, I do too, Ronnie. I do too.
Okay, bye.